Hello and welcome to Chatbiz. Today I have Chris Smith on the line, and he is from the Intellectual Property Department of the Government. Hi Chris, and welcome to Chatbiz.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Now, Chris, what is the Intellectual Property section of the government?
The Intellectual Property Office is a government organisation, part of the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills. What we do is we're basically in charge of registry of IP, which is intellectual property. If you hear me say IP, that's the kind of the shorthand version of it. What intellectual property involves is patents, copyright, trademarks and designs.
Okay.
And we can go through each of these different areas kind of separately.
Okay, so as a small business, why would I register with yourselves?
To protect your name, for example. Let's take Apple, McDonald's, in this instance. That is protected by what you call a trademark.
Okay.
And your brand is essentially your trademark. If you want to register your trademark, you have to register it through us as a registered trademark. You do have some forms of unregistered rights in intellectual property, so you don't necessarily have to come through us, but we do strongly advise sometimes that it is a good idea to register each of your independent rights, whether or not it's your trademark or your design. With regards to patents, for example, which is your inventions, if you want to protect those rights, you have to register them.
Okay, so copyright is a big one that we hear because of the music, etc., and the illegal downloads that we hear of. So I've recorded a song and I've put it on YouTube. Have I got any right to that song? Can anybody use it?
Yes. So unlike trademarks, patents and design right, copyright is not a registered right. It's an automatic right. As soon as you've written the song or produced the song or the film, or even written a website or a computer program, these are all areas covered by copyright. The second that you write them, essentially, in theory, it is covered and it is protected. So with regards to putting things up on YouTube, subject to the contract that you've signed with YouTube when you've signed on, which I can't comment on at the moment, I'm not entirely clear as to exactly what's in it, subject to that, you own the songs that you're putting up onto YouTube.
Oh, that's quite interesting. Now, so just to clarify that, if it's copyright, it doesn't have to be registered, but patents, trademarks and design do?
Well, patents have to be registered if you want them protected. Trademarks
right.
and designs have unregistered and registered forms.
Right, okay. And would you
They can be registered, but they don't necessarily have to be.
Would you recommend always registering?
I would recommend registering, obviously from the Intellectual Property Office. I might be a bit biased in this regard. But with a registered trademark, for example, it makes enforcing your rights much easier. If you do not have a registered trademark, you have to use something called passing off. And passing off involves having to prove that it's your trademark, that someone else is infringing your trademark, so that someone else is harming you by infringing your trademark, and the level of harm done.
Well, that sounds really quite complicated.
Trademark.
It
can get quite complicated, and if you get your lawyer to chase this up or any legal representative, then the fees could increase kind of dramatically. Whereas if you've got a registered trademark, it's already registered, so we've already kind of done some of those steps, if you like. You own whatever it is your company name is as your trademark throughout the UK, in our instance. And you can send a letter to someone infringing saying, please stop, cease and desist, as they say.
Right, okay. Now, all the Intellectual Property Office at the moment covers UK?
Yes, the IPO, Intellectual Property Office, we are the UK office.
Okay,
and now obviously there are separate national offices around the world, and there's also European offices, OHIM, which is the Office of Harmonisation for an Internal Market, and also European Patent Office for patents.
Okay, so when I register a patent with yourselves, that covers me in the UK?
Yes, if you register a patent with us, then it will be for just the UK.
Okay, so if I've put a new chemical out there that kills all the weeds but doesn't kill all the flowers, and that's which would be fantastic, and that's registered in the UK. Can that then be copied by anybody else worldwide?
So if you only register your patent in the UK, and you only get a granted patent in the UK, and you haven't filed anywhere else in the world, then in theory anywhere else in the world can copy your invention. In the UK you're protected, but you wouldn't be protected elsewhere. Now obviously there are ways to protect it in other countries. What you have when you file in the UK originally is you gain what's called a priority date.
Okay.
And the priority date basically allows you within 12 months of filing your initial application to file in another country anywhere across the world.
Okay. And do you find that other countries are as strong as the UK with regards to enforcement on any infringements?
Oh, certainly. There are a lot of them are very active with infringement. You do hear a lot of US cases, United States, cases with intellectual property. Germany, another one, who are very, very big on intellectual property, and of course a lot of other countries as well.
Okay, so once you've decided that you're going to go ahead and you've got your patent and it's UK registered, how do you register it for the EU?
Right, so when you file, obviously, when you file your application with us, mm-hmm. you gain what we call the priority date.
Right.
If you then want to file nationally, so in other national offices, or with the European office in this instance, you would then file an application with them, and you'd claim what's called a priority on your British application.
Right, it's not difficult.
It's patents are a tricky area. You can do it all yourself. However, we do, as the office, strongly recommend that you use a patent attorney or other legal representation, because they can get difficult.
Okay. So now then we can register across the EU, yeah?
Then you can file with the European Patent Office or the EPO.
Mm-hmm.
And you can then register it across the European area and designate your desired states.
Right. Now, I believe that there's going to be some changes to the legislation in the EU.
There's going to be something called the unitary patent. It's not necessarily changes. It's more of an addition, if you see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the unitary patent is basically, it's going to be a patent which is covering up to however many countries side in the European area, up to 26 countries.
Okay. What happens if, as David Cameron has said, we might be opting out of the EU in 5 years' time? Will that affect us?
I couldn't comment on that myself personally, I'm afraid.
Right.
I wouldn't know what would happen in that instance.
Okay.
That's more of a politician's kind of stance.
So just to give some listeners an idea of sort of, you know, how people do use your offices, I believe you've got some case studies for us.
Yes. So with regards to considering whether or not your intellectual property is important, you can see in the news recently and throughout the past couple of months, definitely without a doubt, and certain instances where IP has been sold. So, for example, Branson Pickle was sold to the Mizcan, which is a Japanese company, I believe, and that was sold for £93 million. And included in that deal was a factory with 350 staff.
Right.
Now, if you think about it, £93 million, 350 staff and a factory, how much of the £93 million is going to be the factory and how much is going to be the staff and how much is actually just going to be the Branson Pickle, the brand?
Right.
If you think, obviously, a large chunk of it is the brand, and the brand is covered by trademarks, and intellectual property is the way that they're getting their money back from that. Without intellectual property, they would not own the brand, and they would not be able to charge £93 million for that, for example.
Okay.
Another kind of few areas that are coming into the news these days are, for example, in trademarks. Apple have recently applied for the look of their store as a registered trademark in the US. Now, it's not come to the UK yet.
Mm.
But presumably, if it goes through, they may well think of coming over here.
So does that mean if you've got two dress shops in adjacent towns and one copies the dress design of the window, the colourings, etc., they could register it and the other one couldn't use it?
Well, if Apple are able to protect the look of their store, then that might be something that could happen. Yeah. So if, in this instance with Apple, if another kind of another tablet or smartphone company opened a store and started selling things, they'd have to avoid the look of their store being similar to that of Apple.
Right. Okay. That's interesting sort of way for them to do it, because I would never have thought that would have been something that you could cover, the way your store looks. You know, I'm thinking more inventions, design, and not necessarily things which aren't really what I would say tangible. Does that make sense?
Yes, no, that makes sense. So you're thinking obviously with inventions, which is patents, so design, so let's say the look of clothes, the look of your suit, your dress, and those two things are covered by design right. Then we've got obviously the less tangible, if you like, copyright for software, films, music, and then there's also, as we discussed, the trademarks.
Mm-hmm.
And trademarks, as you pointed out, a lot of people don't realise what can be covered by a trademark. Trademark is people just generally think, oh, that's my name and my logo, which it definitely is. It definitely does cover those two areas, and they are probably the most important parts of trademarks, but it can cover anything which represents your business.
Right, so...
uniquely identified by your business.
Right, okay. What else would it be, especially sort of, you know, in relation to a small business, what else would you have apart from sort of your name and your logo under trademarks?
With regards to trademarks, other than your name and your logo, for a small business, you've got to consider your domain name as well. So where your domain name might slightly differ from your company name. Another point to make on this is consider whether or not your domain name that you're using is infringing someone else's trademark. In the example, you wouldn't open a website called asthestores.com.
Right.
Selling
right.
groceries and DVDs and the like, because Asda own the trademark to Asda, and the use of that in your domain name could be an infringement.
That's quite interesting. So there's a wee bit more behind when you're setting up a website, etc., than just finding a name that matches-ish what you want to do.
Yes, exactly, yes.
How would you find out if you're going to do an infringement?
It's very easy to search your name on our database. If you go to the Intellectual Property Office website, ipo.gov.uk,
mm-hmm.
you can go onto that. You can go into online services, trademark tools, search a trademark, and then by word or image. If you click on that, type in your company name and press enter or search, and it should give you a list of any company or any trademarks on our database with those words in them.
Well, that's really interesting. What we'll do for our listeners is put that link up on the page for them to be able to straight to your office and also to be able to search that. That is something I had no idea of, and quite interesting, because yesterday I was with a girlfriend who was setting up her website. We never thought to check whether we could be infringing on somebody else's name.
No, it's very important to check. Obviously, when you are checking, if you do find a company, let's say you're trying to register Phoenix as a chocolate salesman. If you do search it and there is Phoenix that comes up, or Phoenix Limited comes up, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are infringing, because you do have to consider with trademarks, it is taken into account of the area of good that you're working in.
Right, okay. Okay, so...
So if I was selling, in one example, you've got the colour purple, and it's slightly more abstract. The colour purple is owned by Cadbury's for chocolate.
Good grief. Trademark. Really?
Yes, exactly, yes. And also, it's... Also, as you see, the colour on Whiskers pouches, for example, also
right.
use the colour purple. Now, obviously, Whiskers are not infringing Cadbury's.
Because they're two different...
Because they're completely different areas, different goods altogether.
Right. But
There's
if
no
I...
confusion for the customer.
But if I want to put a brand of chocolate out and I put it in purple wrappers, I could be infringing.
Yes, you'd likely be infringing Cadbury's trademark.
Oh, all right. So... As a small business person, you've got to be really quite careful on sort of not doing any infringements. And I know one of the big ones is using people's photographs and putting them on your own website, or or what a lot of students do, cribbing a bit and copying words. Now, so if I see a paragraph that somebody's put up on their website that I think is really good for mine, am I allowed to use that?
Not really, no. And this comes under the area of copyright.
Okay.
And as we've discussed, copyright's an automatic right, so you obtain it as soon as you've written something, as soon as you've taken the photograph. So in the instance of using other people's photos, they own the copyright in that, and you have to get their permission to use it.
Right, okay. How do you enforce the IP?
The Intellectual Property Office itself does not really enforce the IP. What we are is, with regards to, let's patents, for example, when you send a patent in, mm-hmm. we will look through your patent, we'll make sure it's legally sound, that it makes sense, and that the protection that you're going to get is okay. So we'll do a search and make sure that there's nothing out there already that does what you do.
All
and
right.
We'll tell you about these. And we'll try and get the patent that we grant at the end of the day, we'll try and make sure that it's valid when it gets granted. There is an area that may have errors. Obviously, we only have a specific amount of time and money to be able to do these searches.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the entire world that we've got to look through. But we personally don't enforce the patent or copyright or trademarks or designs once they're in place. We just oversee, if you like.
Okay, so who would do that?
If you're wanting to enforce your intellectual property, so with regards to a trademark, if you find someone's infringing, it's entirely up to you. So you chase after them saying that you're infringing my trademark. I'm not happy about it. Please stop or cease and desist.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully then they'd say, oh, sorry, and stop.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, if they didn't, then you'd have to go and get legal advice,
right.
A lawyer, solicitor, or any suitable intermediary for that. And then after that, you'd have to then take it up as a matter with potentially the court if it got that far.
Right. Okay. So, Chris, how long does an IP last for?
Right. So each different area obviously has different lengths. You've got trademarks. So a registered trademark lasts indefinitely. You renew it every 10 years and you pay your fee to us, which is, if you file online, it's £170 plus £50 per additional area of goods, and that's for 10 years and repeats every 10 years for as long as you like.
Mm-hmm.
You've got copyright, as we discussed, automatic right, and that generally lasts for 70 years from the death of the author.
Okay.
Or 70 years from the first recording in the instance of broadcasting.
Right.
And certain other areas, but generally the point for copyright is 70 years after the death of the author.
Okay.
Design right, if you register your design right, it's up to 25 years protection.
Okay,
if you don't register, sorry?
So, you know, these famous people who've designed handbags, they've got 25 years of that design before somebody can copy it?
If they've registered, yes.
Right.
If they haven't registered, in the UK they've got 10 to 15 years from first marketing or creation, whichever one's shortest.
Right.
Or if you go in Europe, they've got 3 years.
All right, so it's quite a big difference in timescale on that.
Yeah, so with design, if you want registered protection, it will increase the period in which you've got protection for. And it also does increase the protection which you get as well and what you can do with it in those years. It might be the case that in the fashion industry, for example, so with clothes, they might not decide to register.
Yeah, because it's such a short term. Yeah, such
yeah,
a short term thing.
3 years, clothes in the shops for 3 years, generally not.
Right. Right.
But that's obviously entirely up to the person who's filing or wanting the protection. And then finally, patents are covered for 20 years.
Okay. So is this how, you know, the Dyson bagless vacuum cleaner has been copied by quite a lot of other?
Yes, so once his initial bagless vacuum cleaner patent has run out.
Yeah.
20 years after that, then it's free to use, basically.
Ah, right. Okay.
Obviously, what you can do is don't consider the bagless vacuum cleaner isn't just one patent, generally. It might be a plurality of patents, a variety of different patents.
Right.
And the technology might evolve. So where the initial one is a very basic bagless patent, a couple of years later they might have developed improvements on it, and that might then have a patent.
Right, right, yes, I understand that.
It goes on and on and on.
And
it's not just a huge and massive new device that's going to be protected by intellectual or by a patent, for example. It could be the smallest thing.
Small component within something.
Small component. If it improves the functioning of the device, if it has some sort of effect on it, then it can be patented all in itself.
If I'm in the process of designing something and I've come up with a new super duper product, and
yeah.
I'm going to register it with you, do I sort of go to the media and say I'm in the process of doing it, or tell sort of my competitors, oh well, you've had it because I'm going to register?
No, right. So with importance to patents especially,
mm-hmm.
The main rule of patents is don't tell anyone about your patent. Okay. So the issue with patents is if you've disclosed or the invention has been disclosed in
mm-hmm.
public
mm-hmm.
before you file, then your patent will be invalid. So even if you've gone to the media, and I have seen instances, I can't go through the specifics of them yet because they're still confidential, but I have seen cases where the applicant has gone to the newspaper before they filed their application, and we found newspaper articles explaining exactly what the patent does and pictures of it and stuff like that. And as we found it, we've had to say, look, you've disclosed this before you filed with us, so unfortunately it's unlikely that they'll get a patent from that. They might be able to glean something, but they'll have limited themselves just by doing that. Or they might have disclosed it on a public forum. So they might have gone onto an inventor's forum and said, this is my new idea, what do you guys think? And the second they've done that, if they haven't filed a patent, they can't possibly get protection.
Oh, that's really interesting. I'm sure that there's loads of small inventors out there who are sort of discussing it with others, especially in electronics. You know, other engineers, and get caught out.
The important point in that regard is make sure you've got a confidentiality agreement or non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
And that overcomes that kind of issue. So if you're talking to your colleagues about it, make sure there's a confidentiality so they can't go off and tell anyone else. In that instance, it's not considered to be in the public disclosure.
Right. Oh, that's excellent. Well, thanks for that, because I'm sure, Chris, there are a lot of people out there who haven't got a clue about this. It's a difficult field, I think. And how expensive is it actually to register a patent?
To register a patent, it's £230 if you file online.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to get it from application stage to grant. So once we've said, yeah, that's fine, what you've got in your application seems good, that's grant stage. And that's about 3.5 to 4.5 years. Can be shortened through accelerations, but that's more detailed. You do pay renewal fees after it's granted every year.
Okay.
And they range from, in the fifth year, that's £70, to the 20th year, that's £600. So the initial cost should be £230-ish.
Okay, so it's not a ridiculous sum.
No. What makes it, how people see it as expensive is obviously when you want to go internationally, obviously the costs ramp up, and also the use of patent attorneys, and we say they cost between £1,500 to £5,000 for
right.
a UK application.
And
but
where would,
again, I want to stress that we do consider them very, very well worth it. They are good at what they do.
And where would people,
if you want to get the best patent protection.
Okay, where would people find a patent attorney? Because it sounds like it's a specialist area.
Yeah, so a patent attorney, or obviously there are other legal representations they can have, but a patent attorney being the main one would be from CIPA, so that's CIPA, or the Chartered Institute of Patent Attorneys,
and
they can find that online, and that's a list of, as I say, registered patent attorneys that they can find a list of and contact any of them on there.
So, as a small business, how would we find out more information? Through the website, obviously. There's links to everything that we've talked about. And does that break it down for people?
Yes, so through the IPO website, like I said, ipo.gov.uk, it does break it down. And it shows, on that website, it shows events that are happening with the team that I'm part of, Business Outreach and Education.
Yeah.
So we might be coming to an area near you. And if you've got questions that you need answered, then you're more than welcome to come along and ask us the questions in person. So that's the event side of things. If you want to find out more on patents, trademarks, copyrights and designs, obviously there's different sections on our website for those as well. And you can follow those links and try and find out anything you like. Alternatively, if you are looking at the website and there's a very specific problem that you can't find, or just any problem that you just can't find and you're a bit confused about, you can phone our helpline number, and that's 0300 300 2000.
Sorry, can you say that again?
It's 0300 300 2000.
Right, so that's 0300 300 2000.
Yes, that sounds right.
Great. Now, I have noticed that you are bringing your roadshow to Business East in Colchester in Essex on the 6th of March.
Yes.
Yeah. So anybody in the East Anglian region can come down and have a chat and just see whether what they have is suitable for registration.
We can't tell you whether or not it will be registered. We can't give you a personal opinion as to whether or not it'll be a good trademark, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But we can say, okay, I've heard what you've said. You've got to consider these points before you file.
Right.
So we will never be able to tell you, yes, you can file that and you'll get a patent, or yes, you can file that and you'll get a trademark. But we can have a look and kind of point out some areas that we might think that you need to think about a bit more.
Excellent. That's brilliant. Well, thank you ever so much for your time, Chris. And all the details will be on our website for you to contact the Intellectual Property Office and for you to go through to checking whether you may be infringing somebody else's copyright. Thank you, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you very much.